I thank thee, Sergeant Jones, for keeping us in prayer. Thank you, Lord, Lord, for that, for reading our scripture, the voices of praise, for leading us in song, and for everybody else just giving us encouragement. I want to thank that text that was read, Lord, hear our cry. Lord, hear our cry. Let us pray. Almighty God, we just thank you for all we've experienced in less than a day. Oh, lifting our voices in song, calling you in prayer, leading the whole, reading the holy and righteous word, even worshiping through giving. But now comes the preaching moment. And so, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've fallen short. I'm just like everybody. There's destruction in me, just like there's destruction in everybody else. But for these few moments, oh Lord, I ask you to remove whatever might be destructive to the preaching of your holy and righteous word. Give me that clarity of mind, of sight, and of speech. Because this word needs to be clear this morning. Not only in this fallen world, but in this world. And then, oh Lord, keep standing on your promises. I ask you to give me the strength one more time to preach your holy word. And I believe in your character. I know your character. And because you've done it before, I know you'll do it again. And I give you all the honor and glory and praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, hear our prayer. You know, some of you were at the courthouse or maybe read my comments in the paper back in June when I said, I thought COVID-19 would be the thing that would cause a reset in this nation, a reset that is really needed. But COVID-19 did not cause that reset. But 8 minutes, 8 minutes with law enforcement put its knee on the neck of George Floyd, cutting off the flow of blood to his brain that controls respiration. Respiration that gives our body what it needs to live. Respiration that removes from our bodies toxins that kill us. Those 8 minutes seem to be the turning point. The turning point in this nation when we could not only talk about it, but we could do something about the original sin of this nation known as racism. But just, it's just that God spoke to my spirit as I composed an article for the Black Alumni Association of Union Presbyterian in July. Spoke to my spirit when things continue to move forward, or would things go back to the way they used to be? On your earliest one, I decided to do a series on Exodus that we started last week, not just because Exodus was a liberating theme of our enslaved ancestors, but 10 years ago, when we started as a church, we adopted the Exodus story. Adopted it because we were in a hotel conference room that we knew in advance we would not be able to worship every Sunday morning. So we said we would go where God would lead us. And like I said, exceedingly and abundantly, above all we could ask for and imagine, in less than 2.5 years, God planted us in this place. I planned to do the series. I had the text already laid out. But for some reason, I felt the need to preach the Romans text in chapter 12 about love this Sunday. Love, despite Jacob Blake being shot in the back 7 times by law enforcement. But then I heard the story of Clinton Melton. Most of you don't know him, but he was killed near the same town that Emmett Till was killed 3 months earlier. Killed by one of the same people who killed Emmett Till. Alma, oh Otis Kemper accused Melvin of pumping more gas than he asked for. He told Melvin to fill it up. And then after he filled it up, he said, no, I only told you $2 worth. And because Melvin was man enough to say, you told me to fill it up, you didn't say anything about $2, Kemper went home, got a shotgun, and shot Melvin in his hand and in his head. Killing Melvin was enough. However, just before the trial, Beulah Melvin, his wife, was traveling down the road with two of her children in the car, and she was forced off the road, crashed into the river where she died. Melvin murdered, his wife murdered, and just like the case of Emmett Till, the killers walked away free. Oh, that was enough to cry. Lord, hear our cry. But later I heard the police chief of Kenosha, Wisconsin, say that Jacob Blake was responsible for his own shooting. And that those that got shot by that 17-year-old who gets his manhood by walking around carrying an assault weapon, he said they would never have been shot if they stayed at home. But it's even worse, as I came down the road this morning, they say in 2004, this guy got pulled over in front of his house, in handcuffs, and a Kenosha, Wisconsin policeman shot this boy in his head, and in 2 days they said it was justified. Then to find out, Jacob Blake, paralyzed from his waist down. Only by a miracle of God is he going to be able to walk again. Jacob Blake was handcuffed to his bed. I hope I'm not the only one in this nation where people like Kyle Rittenhouse have been empowered to walk the streets armed like they are Green Berets ready for battle and given unofficially the right to take law enforcement in their own hands. Because of a call for so-called law and order, my brothers and my sisters, we are living in a Lord, hear our problem. And as mad as I get, as I see the volume of hate being turned up in high places, I cry out and others cry out, but I'm glad we serve a God who will hear our cry. A God who has heard our cries individually. A God who has heard our cries collectively as a people before, and a God who heard the cries of the people in the text. Last week we heard how the Hebrews were oppressed. We heard how they were enslaved. We heard about the plan to kill off all the Hebrew boys. Oh, the devil playbook never changes. The 7 bullets shot in anybody's back is intended to kill. But we saw how Pharaoh's daughter did not drink the Kool-Aid of his father. And I want to thank God for all the people now who refuse to drink the Kool-Aid. And I pray that God will open the eyes of those who are drinking it before the devil takes them down. But Pharaoh's daughter rescued Moses. Pharaoh's daughter taught Moses how the system worked. Moses could have been headed to high positions. Moses might have even been Pharaoh himself. However, he saw an Egyptian brutally beating a Hebrew. He killed the Egyptian and threw him in the sand, hit him in the sand. And two of the people had evidently seen him when Moses was told them to stop fighting. They asked Moses if they were going to kill them also. But I got to say this. Too many times we spend fighting each other. Too many amount of time we spend killing each other. Lord, hear our cry. Stop the foolishness in our own community. Pharaoh finds out about the murder. And he tries to kill Moses himself. But Moses runs away. It's amazing though how God sets that up. Moses comes to the rescue of Jethro's daughters. After hearing this story, Jethro invites Moses to come home, and Moses marries his older daughter. Moses was in a good place, ready to live a peaceful life where everything that was happening, all the good things, it was a setup for an encounter with God. See, it was God who gave Moses' mother the courage to hide. It was God who touched Pharaoh's daughter so that she not only saved him, she adopted him. God even had a hand in Moses killing that Egyptian. It was God who made sure that Moses escaped from Pharaoh. God made sure that Moses showed up when Jethro's daughters were wandering the flocks. And in your life, God has set up some things. Set up things that only God could set up. Expect an encounter with Almighty God. Oh, it's in the text. It's in the text. He said Moses was taken care of the flock. He led the flock to the edge of the desert and came to Mount Hor when the messenger, the Lord's messenger, appeared to him in a plain in the middle of the bush. How do you know it was God's message preaching? I'm glad you asked. Who else could it be? For Moses saw a bush that was in flame, but the bush didn't burn up. Moses knew that was no ordinary occurrence. So he said to himself, let me check out this amazing sight and try to find out why this bush isn't burning up. See, when God shows up, you do things that you might not normally do. Because if you saw a bush burning, it wasn't burning up, most of us would burn. But that's just how the presence of God works. And when the Lord saw Moses coming to look for the God we serve, sees all. God called Moses out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And when Moses responds, I'm here. See, when God speaks, we need to respond. But God has something to tell you. Something is going to make a difference in your life. And something is going to make a difference in the lives of others. And I hate to think how many breakthroughs we make, miss, how many opportunities to make a real difference are lost, all because we refuse to respond when God speaks into our lives. But God is speaking. It's just that too many who call themselves Christians, they aren't listening to God. The Lord tells Moses, don't come any closer. See, none of us can stand in the place where God stands. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground. God is so holy that even the ground God occupies is holy. Ain't holy because he gets on a holy dance. Not holy because God is going around something, but holy because God is holy. God then identifies, I'm the God of your father. Abraham, God. Isaac, God. Jacob, God. And don't miss that fact when it comes to your life. But God is the God of my father, little place in him, Lord. God of his father, Ernest in him, Lord. God is the God of all of my father. When God realizes Moses, Moses, he respects. And then the Lord said, I've clearly seen my people oppressed in Egypt. God sees how we are being oppressed as a people today. See, God has seen how we were oppressed, even more than the words written in the half that have never been told, how slavery built American capitalism. God has seen more than the pictures in without sanctuary that shows how men, women, boys, and girls were lynched in these United States. More than the words written by James Collins in the cross and the lynching tree. God has seen how we've been oppressed more than the words of Jamar Tisby in the knew their pain, and God knows our pain. And I'm waiting. I'm ready to act because I believe that God is going to do the same thing as he's about to tell Moses. I've come down to rescue them from the Egyptians in order to take them out of that land and bring them to a good and broad land. In fact, God has already done that for New Hope Fellowship. God took us from a great spot and brought us to a broad space. And God can do the same for us as a people right here in these United States. We ain't got to go back to North Africa. We can have our blessing right here in these United States, right here and right now. Keep marching. Keep holding those rounds. Because when the cry of the Israelites of injustice have reached God, just as God has seen our oppression, God is listening right there. God is watching right there. And God is going to send more than one Moses to remove the injustice in this land and remove the oppression that we are experiencing as a people. We all need to be ready to respond to God, because God is going to send something to truly set us as a people free. Free from the hate of others. Free from the very hate we have sometimes. But I'm glad this morning that when God tells us what God wants us to do, God has a response for our guts. Well, it's always been our DNA. We love others more than we love self. We hate self more than we hate others. We can quote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But when the time comes to make a change, when we are called to speak truth with power to injustice, our knees get weak. We start laughing at stuff that ain't funny. Injustice and oppression are far from funny. We start scratching where we don't itch, and we come up with all kinds of excuses, even though we say nothing is too hard for God. Moses brought up in Pharaoh's house. Moses, who was caught Pharaoh's way. Moses had been given all the tools in advance to do what God wants Moses to do, but Moses starts making excuses. Moses says to God, who am I to go to Pharaoh and to bring my people up? Well, let me tell you, God has prepared me to preach this text the way I am. And that's why I'm preaching it this way. I didn't come to entertain you. For as old as Moses the third could say, not to give you something that won't help. He calls it cotton candy theology. It tastes good, but it don't have no substance. But to stir up the fire that God has placed in somebody under the sound of my voice, because God has some work that needs to be done. Moses says, who am I to go to Pharaoh? God said, I'll be with you. That's enough for me. And that should be enough for you. Because I've been in some situations. I've come through some things. And the only reason I'm here this morning is that God will twist me and just look back over your life and to think about the things that God brought you through. The times he told you to turn around when you were going to the wrong places. The times that you look death in the face. See, somebody needs to give God some praise for being with you in some bad situations. And if God is with you in those bad situations, that I'm the one who sent you. For when you bring the people out, bring them back to the place where God spoke to you. If I just pause that, we need to claim the places that are holy ground in our life. God dealt with that first excuse, that boogeyman I call Pharaoh. But God, Moses had another excuse, that bigger boogeyman called us. Because too many of us are caught up in what we can't do or it's never been done before. Sometimes the biggest obstacle for God getting things done in our lives is us. Say to yourself,
I'm not going to be an obstacle to God.
Making my life good. Give God some praise for saying that. To deal with the bigger boogeyman, Moses says to God, if I now come to my people and say to them, the God of your ancestors sent me to you, they're going to answer me, what's this God's name? What am I supposed to say to them? But you know, that's more than an excuse. That's more than the way we are. That's instructive because now, as then, they worship other gods just like some of us worship other gods. So when somebody comes to make a change that is going to make things better in the lives of people, and the leader said they come to God, people want to know which God sent them. For most of the gods we serve have failed us. A God that would be no match for Pharaoh. See, the Egyptians had many gods. Ra, Ken, Nut, Shu, Horus, and Isis. The Hebrew people had been hanging around other gods also. Baal, Dagon, Moloch, the golden calves. In fact, they even built the golden calf when they went across the water. God always has an answer. And God tells Moses, I am who I am. Tell him, I am has sent me to you. Is there anybody in here this morning who knows the I am who I am God? The I am who I am God, who will do what I am says that I am is going to do. See, that's the kind of God I want to send me. That's the kind of God I walk behind the one who is sent to deliver me. I know he's called God. I know that some call him Yahweh God. I know that some call him Elohim. As for me, you don't have to give God some fancy name. I am who I am. It's enough for me, and I hope I am, and I am is enough for you. I am who I am goes a little bit further. Tells Moses to say to the Hebrews, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, who I told to get up and go, and Abraham got up and went, the God of Isaac, the son of the promise, and the father of the faithful, the God of Jacob, who wrestled with God all day long, Jacob, who brought you in Egypt, I'm their God. I'm the God who brought you to this place the first time, and I'm the God who's going to bring you out. This is my name forever. I am who I am. This is how all generations will remember me, the I am who I am. The God who sent Moses to set his people free. The God who can use you and me to turn this situation around. There's a lot of unlearning needs to be done. For people have been lied about race by their parents, lied to by their pastors, lied to by their teachers. So others have to learn hate, unlearn hate of us because of that lie. We got to stop hating ourselves. And you know, I'm glad that on more than one occasion, but on one I can think of, God used me to get rid of some of this self-hate. I hired this driver once. Even though a friend of mine in law enforcement told me that he had a record, I gave him a chance. Now, I never won with the check box anymore. You were talking about, I don't want to run my application. But you know, one day, after being on the job a few weeks, he said, "Doc, I got something to tell you." He said, "I have a record." I told him I already know. Worked, did a good job, but I only got sick. Serena and I went to see him, and he talked about missing, going to the Craven Court, the Wicker Court, Fairfield Court, all the courts up in Richmond. He missed doing it. And then he told me, he said, "Doc, when I came to work for you, I thought I could never work for a colored man." And he was black. But he said, "Doc, you were the best boss that I ever had." That's self-hate. And then the hate of others. So we really remind me of something false. Maintaining work in Michael County Public Schools. When he got there, he found out Serena's father would be his supervisor. He hated it, and it showed many times. But you know, Serena's father kept treating that man the same way he treated everybody. And then one day, he came up to help and said, "I hate my parents for teaching me what they did about black people." And he went on to say, there was no way he could love his parents anymore. But him being the man he was, him being the father he was, him being the deacon that he was, told that man, "No, you got to keep on loving your parents. And if the truth be told, that's the way God treats us. For all of us have messed up. We all have done things that God did not like. But God still loves us. And God loves us so much that God is going to respond to our prayer. God is going to handle the injustice and oppression that we face. And not only that, God loved us so much that I am who I am. Step down from glory. I am. He went on that I am to do. I am who I am. Put on human flesh as Jesus. I am who I am. Climb the Calvary's hill. I am who I am. Suffered and died so that you and I might have life. I am who I am. That's something that only I am who I am can do. Got Jesus up with all power. So cry out to God when injustice and oppression rears up its ugly head. Recognize the code language, even when it disguises itself as Christianity. But Christianity is about love. Not a one agenda, Lord, but love of all creation. Let I am who I am set up things in your life. When I am who I am speaks, respond. Watch I am who I am, remove all your doubts. And then watch I am who I am, the great I am. Watch the great I am work out your situation. And the situation we are in as a people. Because the Lord, I said the Lord will hear our prayers if we keep calling on Him. Amen. Amen. Amen.